Hi, church. So good to be with you, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, as we gather around God's Word again, as we've been able to have some time in worship. It's so good to be with you. We have been coming out of this lockdown time, getting ourselves set again in amongst our community, workplaces and schools and so on. And it's been an interesting way out. Unfortunately, we can't be on site together, but here we are, and we know that God is present and at work. So it's so good to be with you. If you don't know, I am Kynan. I'm the lead pastor at Hope Valley Church, a wonderful community of people who love the Lord, serve each other, and make a difference in the world. We have been in a series, well, we're only the second message into it, a series called Secrets from the Mountain. And last week I talked about living large. And at the end of it, remember I gave a lockdown challenge. Now, just because we're out of lockdown doesn't mean you can't complete the challenge. But I just want to say how encouraged I have been by how you have taken the challenge on. So many of you took on the first one, which was to reach out to 7 people pastorally and encourage them. Email, text, and so on. Now, friends, I love that because that's the people of God doing the ministry of God as we should. Reaching out to one another, encouraging, building up. And I just want to say a word to particularly friends and friends of friends in New South Wales. We want to reach out to you and just say that we are thinking of you. We are praying for you. We know that this is a very difficult time for you. You've gone into an extended lockdown time, and our hearts are for you. And we just pray that you'll be able to keep sober-minded, positive, and just know that our God is with you as you see out this time. And we pray for good results soon for you in New South Wales. The other part of the challenge was that I'd asked you to read just 7 minutes for 7 days of Mark's Gospel. And that was because I wanted you to magnify Christ in your life. And I've heard of some of the feedback from people who said, yes, I've just got into the Gospels again. It's so good to be reading the Word and to see the ministry of Jesus. And it's so good because it is on Christ in which we stand. And when there's unknown, unsure circumstances going on, to have that truth sitting within our spirits and convicting us once more is so good. And then the final part was to consider and name or list 7 mountains or hills that you want to combat or take on or face or climb or put before you as a challenge or to grow in over the next 7 months. And as I've heard people feedback to me, you know, one person said, yes, I was aware of a mountain and it was a negative space for me. But I'm getting the courage to face that. I want to grow through that. And she's just, with God, we're going to overcome that. Other people said, yes, this is good because I'm, you know, it's caused me to reset, to have a look at some priorities, to not just be complacent or just to sit with what is, but to believe that I can influence the realm in which I live. Now, as I was reading Mark's Gospel, I was struck again by the teaching that Jesus gives on the parable of the sower. You may or may not know the parable, but I'll briefly paraphrase it for you. How it goes is that there is a sower who goes out and he has a whole lot of seed. And he's throwing this seed out and it lands in 4 different places as he sows this seed. Now, obviously he's not a very good sower. You would have thought that you'd just throw the seed where you want it to go. But in any case, it goes out in these 4 different places. Now, one of the places it falls is on the path. Just falls on the firm path. And it falls there. And before it even has a chance to germinate, to do anything, birds swoop in and they eat it. And it's gone forever. Now, the other part where some of this seed falls is it's thrown and it lands on rocky ground. Now, the thing about rocky ground is that sometimes little bits of soil can just sit there between the rocks. There's just a little bit of soil there, and the seed falls in there, and it gets a chance to start growing. But the root cannot go very deep at all. And so as soon as the heat of the day hits that rock and the sun comes up, that little plant which is starting to grow with only a small bit of its root system is scorched and it withers away. And then some of the seed, that falls in amongst thorns, and it grows, but then it kind of gets started, but the thorns grow up around it. And these thorns, in their own way, are kind of aggressive, and they take over and they choke that which is growing. And then this seed cannot produce. But then, where the sower probably wanted to really get this seed, falls in good soil. And it produces there what it was designed to produce, which is more grain. And not only that, it has the potential to grow and increase and yield increasing amounts of grain. Now, this is fundamentally where God wants us to be placed, in good soil. And I want to assume that you're someone who wants to be in good soil, to be someone who bears good fruit, or in this case, more grain, but not just additionally, more and more and more. I also believe that you're empowered enough to make sure the soil that you are in is good. You have choices. Now, Jesus goes on and explains a little bit about these types of soil. He talks about that first one and why, if you look at the soil and the seed being someone who is, you know, someone who is growing up in what God has for them, he clearly explains why they don't reach their potential in him. He said in that first one on the path, you know, he says, well, those birds, it's just like Satan comes in and steals that potential from it. It never gets going. And we can lament those who we see, oh, they didn't even get a start. How sad that is. And then those who don't let the word go deep, they're in that rocky soil, they get a start. And we see, look, they're starting to grow. But it could be that as soon as someone personally challenges them or their belief, the belief in them just dies. And we lament that as well. But then, Jesus explains, there are some who actually get growing, but what they do is that they choose to love the riches and cares of this world more than the things of God. And what we see here is actually a beautiful description of humanity, of where people are at before realizing their potential in God. But then Jesus talks about this good soil, that which is fertile, which is warm, has the right nutrients within it, the moisture. This is the place of unrivaled potential and promise. This is the place where, if things are planted within that, where true greatness in the eyes of God is sown. And the challenge for the believer is this. It's not really to spend too much time thinking about the other types of soil. The challenge is, are you willing to have such good soil sown into your life that you don't just bear one piece of grain, but actually to go on and bear increasing yields? You see, many people are just happy with saying, yeah, I've got some good things going and you know, I bear a little bit of good stuff. But to actually go on and be stretched and grow to the potential is the challenge for the believer. To keep that good soil, to keep growing. Could be easy to get content with just bearing one piece of grain. So yes, I bore fruit, as the scripture says. Yep, good, I'll tick that. Then others might go, hey, look, well, compared to them, I'm doing pretty well because I've bared 30-fold. I've done some really good things. Yep, tick. But the challenge lies, doesn't it, when we start thinking, oh, but I can actually bear 60-fold. Or maybe even 100-fold. For me, I find that deeply challenging. Where do I lie on this continuum? Where do you find yourself on that continuum? Do you even know that there is so much more that you can bear? Good stuff. Good things in God. That you have an endless potential that you can grow. That there's promise within you that's yet to be fulfilled. And it might take you beyond 30, towards 60, and maybe into 100-fold. You know, God wants us to be choosing good soil for us to grow in so that we can bear fruit. And by the grace of God, that we would influence the realms that God has placed us in. You know, what if we took that on? That we were to grow into increasing levels of fruitfulness before God. What a difference that would make. And as we do that, we learn these lessons about climbing mountains. And I believe that every mountain you climb should be making it easier for someone else to reach their summit. It's been so good to enjoy the Olympics going on. And how good is 7 Plus streaming in different ways? We've come so far. But right before us, we see people who have done whatever they can to reach the pinnacle of their choice of sport. We see them perform at the highest level. And we're impressed by their focus, their readiness, their skill. But what we see on 7 Plus, friends, let's face it, is their highlights reel. We see the very best of what they've got at that time. We don't see this backstory. We don't know the depth of the daily decisions that they have made to climb to the top of their chosen sport. We haven't seen how they've overcome disappointment, the personal sacrifices they've had to make, the ways in which other people have had to sacrifice for them to pursue their dream. We just don't know their backstory. We realize that some of them have had the most perfect conditions to train in. Everything at they're ready for what they need for them to reach peak condition. But the interesting thing is that some of them have had to face great adversity, come from very difficult circumstances. Some of their stories are just tragic, and yet they have chosen to face that adversity, to rise up, and then to put themselves in a place where they can bring the very best of themselves in the opportunities presented to them. And how inspirational is that? We are in awe of them, really. They are an example to us of what can be done. Right before us, they've made sure that they would make the most of their talent and determination. And patiently, they have crafted out their pathway to the pinnacle of their sport, and we get to see that. I hope many of you got the opportunity to tune in to the 400 metre race of Ariane Titmus, the Australian golden girl of swimming. Now, you might remember her, but you probably remember her very enthusiastic coach who likes a good win, right? Well, in her race in the 400 metres, she took on one of the greats of swimming in Kate Ledecky from the USA. Now, Ariane swam the perfect race. She controlled herself, she was patient, and then in the last 50, it was when she got in front. In fact, Ledecky said this of her rival: she was simply more controlled in the swim. And the ABC described Titmus' race as one that was timed to perfection. And she said herself, "I tried to stay as composed as I could, then just tried to stick to my race plan. And really, I can't believe I pulled it off." Now, anyone who has climbed that kind of mountain or summited something of great achievement is actually someone who's actually quite controlled. They've learnt the art of patience and of timing. And if you could describe the success of this achievement or anyone who was seeing it at the Olympics, or indeed anyone who has achieved something which is fruitful or successful and discovered the secret of it, you would see that there is determination, preparedness, patience, and timing. And if you've thought about any of the 7 mountains or hills that you want to climb in the next 7 months, these will also be what you need: determination, preparedness, patience, and timing. And all of this is much better achieved if you put yourself in the good soil and make these decisions. All 4 go together. But the secret from the mountain that we want to discover today is that learning patience and entwining that with timing is vital to reaching the 30, 60, and by God's grace, 100-fold in your life. Now, many of us are impatient, or we talk about being impatient. We want to get to where we want to be, and we want to get there now. But actually what we find is that patience combined with timing is what an impatient person is actually searching for. This is my goal. This is what I want to achieve. This is where I want to get to. If they can develop a sense of timing, they become patient in the journey. So let me say that again. Patience combined with timing is what an impatient person is searching for. When we cry out to God, God, when are we going to get there? God, when are we going to get through? God, give me patience. We are actually asking God, what is the timing on this? And people who know a divine patience can sense God's timing. In fact, Bishop Fulton J. Sheen said this, patience is power. Patience is not absence of action, rather it is timing. It waits for the right time to act, for the right principles, and in the right way. We can't try to fool ourselves that declaring patience is simply an easy way to justify doing nothing. No, true patience is a mutual beneficial relationship between you and the Lord. The Lord is patient with you as you grow in Him and grow up in Him and partner with Him so that you can achieve what God wants you to achieve. In Colossians 1:10, the Message version of the Bible puts it like this. Be assured that from the first day we heard of you, we haven't stopped praying for you, asking God to give you wise minds and spirits attuned to His will. You see that? Wise minds and spirits attuned to His will. And so acquire a thorough understanding of the ways in which God works. We pray that you'll live well for the Lord, making Him proud as you work hard in His orchard. And as you learn more and more how God works, you will learn how to do your work. And we pray that you'll have the strength to stick it out over the long haul. Not the grim strength of gritting your teeth, but the glory strength God gives. It is strength that endures the unendurable and spills over into joy, thanking the Father who makes us strong enough to take part in everything bright and beautiful He has for us. You see, God wants to partner with us. He gives us patience. He wants to journey with us. He gives us a sense of timing so that we can stick it out and get to that place where things are bright and beautiful and we've grown and we've matured and we've developed and we've seen something more of the kingdom to come. Now I want to just pause here for a moment and say a particular word to those who are climbing the mountain that has come with a trauma or loss. I wanted to say that be patient and gentle with yourself. For what you are going through is deep and takes time. But I'd say take that time before God. Ask God, dare to ask God for a future with hope and purpose. And ask for in God's timing and maybe with help from others for healing and wholeness. For God works deeply in the suffering that we might be enduring. Now, as we come out from that, let's talk a little bit about how we take patience and mix it with timing. See, timing is knowing what to do and when. Jesus was the master at this. I mean, He knew that there was an urgency about His message, and He knew that it was only a short time He could live it out and deliver it, but He, unrushed, achieved so much because of timing, of knowing how to do the right thing at the right time. Who to be with at the right time, when to speak at the right time, when to retreat at the right time, when to engage at the right time, when to heal at the right time. He was aware of the people around Him. He was aware of the Father's presence. He was aware of what the devil was trying to do and how to combat that as well. He had an uncanny, divine understanding of doing the right thing at the right time. He would declare when His time had not yet come, and when it did, He acted even though it would cost Him everything. Jesus was the Lord of time. Now, when it comes to thinking, okay, I'm going to work my way forward in achieving what God has for me, or to finding a way in which the decisions are going to help decide when I do the right thing at the right time. There is a line of questioning that you can apply to help you understand timing. You can ask this when you're making the decisions. Is it important and urgent? If it is important and urgent, then make the strong decision now to act. The next one is something urgent, but not as important as other items. So it could be that that decision needs to come down a little bit. Or the decision could be, is it important, but not urgent? Which means, where's my sense of timing in making this decision? Okay, it's not urgent right now, but it will come. So when do I put aside a time to think something through? And the final question is, this is neither important nor urgent. And if you come to that discovery about something, then just forget it. Don't give time to it. For there are more important things that you need to discover and the timing associated with it that you need to work through. And friends, you can apply this line of questioning in so many settings. At your workplace, with your career goals, in your personal life, with your parenting decisions. Think this through. And another thought on timing and patience is that the larger the impact of any decision that you make, the more crucial is the timing. The more people it's going to impact, the greater cost that it's going to have. Getting the timing right is so important. And the beautiful thing is that God speaks his wisdom into that when we're patient before him. As we bring this to conclusion, I want you to consider the decisions that you're making today. I want you to consider the actions that you're seeking to take. For what we choose to do today will impact us tomorrow. What we read today will help form who we are to become. What we discover and what we set out on, the timing that what we have in regards to the decisions we make, they're going to impact those around us. But God speaks his wisdom into it. He gives good people around us also to walk with us on that journey. Now let me finish with this little story from my own life. Many years ago, when I was just 22 years old, I was out there trying to discern where my future would be. To be honest with you, I had no concrete plans. All I had was this, a spirit of adventure, an arts degree, a hex debt, a backpack, but I also had a heart to know God's will for my life. In this space, I was given an invitation to return from traveling and serve a small youth ministry in a church at Hope Valley. The minister who has given me the invitation, also my father, he'd said to me, can you come and give me a hand with this youth ministry? And I said to him, well, I'll give you 1 year and then I'm off again to see the world. This was pre-COVID, of course. Well, I packed up my bags and as I started my way back to Australia, I came back through Santa Barbara in Southern California. And I caught up with a pastor friend of mine. I said to him, listen, I'm going to go back and I'm going to be serving for a year in ministry at Hope Valley Church. Well, this pastor friend of mine at that time, and he was far more experienced and far wiser than I. And he said this, if you go to serve, he said, do this, start small and don't do anything less than 3 years. Now, it was a funny thing, but I actually remembered that. I think mainly because I thought it was an odd thing to say. Heck, I'll give it a year and I'll get out of there. Now, some 20 plus years later, and now with you, the most incredible church to serve, who know God's patience, knows God's patience with us, and we know his timing. We can testify to it in so many ways. I try to give this same advice to anyone who will listen about who wants to do something meaningful and fruitful in the will of God. Start small, learn some lessons, and don't do anything less than 3 years. For here is where we learn things like patience, and here it is that we learn timing. And this is the secret from the mountain. And now, 20 plus years later, I see the wisdom of patience and timing working together. Those who climb mountains, those who bear great fruit, have this secret embedded in their lives. So friends, set your course, be patient, get your timing right, and you will achieve great things under God. Let us be in prayer. Lord, may we be still and hear your voice. May we know when to go and when to stay. May we know the difference between important and urgent. May we know how to have a sense of timing that bears great fruit, which achieves great things and does something wonderful in your name. So Lord, whatever we turn our hand to, may we know that we are in your will. In your name I pray. Amen.